Log Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Inside Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Colling, and I'm also joined by co-host Steve Susi. Tonight we have a midweek show. We're diverting from our regularly scheduled programming on Sunday nights. We're having a midweek show. We figured it was only a good idea to do so just because with spring training rolling around today and tomorrow, tomorrow officially being the first day of spring training, we figured it would be a good idea to go ahead and talk a little bit about spring training and look at some of the major storylines from each team. If we were to just be a reporter on one of the sidelines of one of the spring training complexes, what would we want to know about that team as we peer in to each ball club during spring training? Now, there's a lot to get to, so we're just going to go ahead and start now. We are going to start with the American League. And one team, Steve, that I have a lot of questions about, and I know a lot of fans. I have a lot of fans of this team, a lot of friends who are fans, I should say. And there are a lot of question marks with this team heading into spring training. And the first team, we're just going to start in the American League Central. And the first team I want to talk about is the Detroit Tigers. What's the first thing that comes to mind as their major storyline? Or maybe there's more than one in your mind.
Well, I look at some of their key offensive components, obviously. And Victor Martinez is an obvious thing, a guy to point at and say, you know, well, how long is he going to be out? And you know, all these other things. But I'm more interested in Miguel Cabrera, to be totally honest with you, and where his health condition is right now and what we're going to see from him early on. I mean, obviously, he's always had some weight issues and some things like that to deal with. But just get a good look at him, eyeball where he's at right now, and see how fluid he's moving.
You know, I read earlier today that Miggy, they got the CAT scan or the CT scan or whatever back from him, and it looks like he's been given the all clear as far as baseball-related activities are concerned. And you always got to think, I mean, with the guy coming off ankle surgery, that there's going to be a little bit of a time differential between when most injuries would hamper you and when they wouldn't. But he's not really a speed guy, and we saw last year he can play with an injury. I mean, much worse than coming off of surgery. I mean, he had like 10 different ailments last season. Do you even think his draft status is going to fall on fantasy baseball on draft day?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting question. It would not surprise me if he kind of fell a little bit from kind of that consensus number two pick behind Mike Trout. I mean, if I'm a draft guy that likes to try to limit his risk as much as possible, and if I were posed with the option of choosing, say, an Andrew McCutchen or a Miguel Cabrera on draft day, I'm pretty sure I'd go with McCutchen right now, just because of the safety and security and knowing that, you know, that he's a consistent guy and he's going to deliver at worst, you know, numbers across the board, and I'm probably, you know, barring some freak injury, I'm probably not going to miss a lot of games with him either. So I'm a more risk-averse type of guy. So for me, maybe Cabrera slides a couple of slots. But as far as talking about like a major drop, like down into round two, I think that's crazy.
Right. Yeah. What about Victor Martinez? I mean, he's coming off meniscus surgery. I mean, they say he'll be ready by opening day. Is that a concern for, you know, for you, for that team as well, another middle-of-the-lineup guy hurt right now?
Well, I'm concerned about him fundamentally in a lot of ways. I mean, I continue to be amazed by his productivity level at his age. And I think eventually these two worlds are going to collide, the injury history and the age. And maybe it's now. Maybe it's 2 years from now. But it's always something that's kind of in the back of my head with Victor Martinez.
Well, especially, I think he's 37 now. And especially, I mean, you could say – I've heard people say this, but he's the most pure hitter in all of baseball. Do you agree with that?
It's something that I would have a hard time coming up with a long list of guys that would rank ahead of him. You know, it's it. You know, I love his approach. I love the way he goes about it. I love his ability to, and willingness to take a walk if the situation is there. I mean, the approach is always really good. So he's one of those guys that, you know, that I don't want to see up if I'm an opposing team, you know, in a key situation, because I know he's probably going to have a productive at bat more times than not.
Mm-hmm. You know, B-Mart is I don't know, he's a huge question mark for me. I can't see him batting .330 with 30 bombs and 100 RBIs again next season. I just can't. But especially coming off of surgery, knee surgery. But he is going to DH, and I know a lot of people who've had meniscus tears before, and it really is like a month. That's basically it, and then they're almost back to 100%. The lateral movement kind of lacks for a little bit, but I think he's going to be okay, and I actually think Miggy's going to be okay too. But besides those guys, you know, the Tigers have a lot of other question marks. One of the main ones, obviously, is pitcher Justin Verlander. You know, last season and even the season before, saw his numbers drop precipitously from where they, you know, his MVP year and where he used to be. See a decline in velocity. You know, last season he had the core surgery and spring training, so he's a little bit behind. He's never really kind of recovered. Do you think that, from the reports, it sounds like he's healthy, ready to go. Do you think that he's going to be back to the Justin Verlander we know, or do you think he really is kind of on the decline phase of his career?
You know, when you look at him, he's really not that old, but boy, he just has consistently thrown a lot of pitches, and I'm not real optimistic. I mean, I think the days of him being a dominant force on top of the AL pitching ladder, I think those are gone, and I don't think they're coming back. I mean, it's just, it's a personal observation. I mean, I mean, obviously you can use a lot of stats to back up the position that, yeah, he's done, but I just have a general feeling right now that we're not going to see Justin Verlander at an elite level. I don't think ever again. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's run its course.
I have to agree, to be honest with you. I don't think – I was actually trying to trade from last year in our fantasy league, and, you know, in the second half, you know, surely this guy, even without the velocity, he's been pitching for so long, and he's so good, surely he'll be able to find a way to put up some good numbers. And I kept trying to get him from Powell, and he still wouldn't give him to me. And, you know, I'm glad it didn't work out, because he basically sucked the entire second half, and he never got better. So at some point, you know, guys do, you know, they do reach a limit with maybe it's age or injuries or whatever, but in this case, age, and, you know, it's possible that he is on a sharp decline, kind of like a Tim Lincecum in a way, even though, you know, I think Lincecum might be a hair younger. But
some people with those power pitching profiles, they just struggle to make the adjustments when they lose a little bit of pop on their fastball, and I think he's a classic example of that. I really, at this point, when I, you know, if I'm an opposing team and I look on the pitching chart and I see it's Verlander day, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm feeling confident that I'm going to be able to hit the baseball pitches to hit. And 2 or 3 years ago, if you would have said that, you would have looked at me like I was nuts. So it's funny how things evolve. It's definitely a case with him that, you know, that I'm real curious about. I mean, we could probably do a whole episode on just the Tigers, because there's just a lot of interesting dilemmas inside of this team. You know, I look at their closer situation. I wonder how long they can seriously go with a Joe Nathan producing like he did at the end of last year. I mean, how long will that experiment be allowed to continue? I mean, that's he was just awful last year. So as a White Sox fan, I hope they let it go as long as they possibly can. I hope it goes all year. But, you know,
Joe Nathan. Oh, man, that's another good point. I didn't really think about that. Their back end of their bullpen cost them a lot of games last season. I mean, there's no question.
Yes.
You know, Joe Nathan's 40 years old, and they're signing this guy, I think it was like a $10 or $11 million contract, or maybe more. It was close to 10. And, you know, this guy came in, almost had a 5 ERA. Got 35 saves, we almost had a 5 ERA. So, you know, that's a huge question mark going in for them, because he was healthy last season. He's just old. So, I don't know. I think they've got they've got a couple of holes they need to worry about and kind of cover here in spring training. But they do have a lot of veterans, but it reminds me of, you know, some of those aging cores out there, like the Phillies and the Yankees and some of those other teams. But Tigers are going to be good. We know this. You know, they've got a lot in the tank left for the rest of their this season at least, and I think they will be near the top of the division with your White Sox. But some of those guys, you know, are just going to be big question marks going into spring training. We can move on. We could talk a long time about the Tigers, but why don't we move on to the defending runner-ups, I should say, in the World Series, the Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals this spring go into spring training with, well, you could say they didn't really make any splashes in free agency, or they didn't really re-sign anybody. I mean, they lost Billy Butler, who is not that great in my opinion, but, I mean, he was a fan favorite and had some productive years in Kansas City. And they also lost, obviously, James Shields to free agency, went to the Padres. So you lost your ace, you lost your cleanup hitter, and Alex Gordon's coming off of wrist surgery. So where does that put them going into spring training? You can go over who they brought in, but do you think that they are a better or worse team from when they finished the World Series, their last game of the World Series, and then starting tomorrow? Are they a better or worse team?
I think they're a worse team. I don't really think you can make any argument that they're better. They lost pieces, didn't really replace them with anybody but expectations. I mean, I know they've got young arms in their system like Kyle Zimmer and things like that, but to essentially not replace the workhorse starter in your rotation, I mean, Edison Volquez, I mean, you know, I mean, I know he was pretty good last year, but, I mean, boy, I mean, replacing James Shields, a workhorse that's been at the top of your rotation, and getting that guy, I mean, yeah. You can talk about recency bias, but, I mean, 2 years ago, this guy was just horrific, and, I mean, which one is he? And I'm inclined to believe it's a lot closer to the horrific than the good,
yeah.
It's going to be real tough for them. I was impressed with what they were able to do playing a different brand of baseball than we're accustomed to seeing. But, I mean, I still question run production. I think there's some upside in some of the guys that they have. I mean, I'm fascinated to see if Lorenzo Cain can keep getting better.
Yeah.
But this is a team that has some guys that could potentially erupt, but could potentially continue to be in kind of that, you know, that waiting station between being really, really good and just kind of being there, because they've got about three or four of those guys in their everyday lineup that I'm waiting on, and I think there might be more in the tank, but they just haven't shown it yet.
Did you know, this is something kind of interesting I read today, do you know that the Mariners had the best ERA, bullpen ERA in the majors last season?
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. I watched an alarming number of Seattle Mariner games last year, and it seemed to me that they had some very effective 6th, 7th, 8th inning guys that just came in and got people out. So it wouldn't be my first guess if you said, hey, who had the best bullpen ERA last year in the league? And it wouldn't have been my first guess, but it would have been pretty high, close to the top of the list, I think.
Yeah.
Fernando Rani just somehow manages to get people out. So,
yeah.
Right? And that makes sense, but.
No, I know. And the reason I bring that up is because when you think of the Royals, you think of their big three, you know? You think of Herrera, Wade Davis, and Holland. I mean, no question. And they've got that core coming back. They've got that, you know, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, you know, coming back this season. And you got to be pretty confident if you're Ned Yost and, you know, you're a Royals fan, that if your starting pitcher can get you to the 7th inning, get you through 6th, that you've got a shot. So I just don't know, after, you know, we've had all this hype, and yes, they're very good, they're power arms, and I actually like Wade the most. And I don't know if you watched him very much, you know, in the postseason last year. That dude is nasty. But you know, they might not have the year that they had last year, and I actually think the Royals are going to, I'm calling them to be third or fourth in the division this season. I really think they got hot, kind of like the Rockies did, what was it, like 3 years ago, where they rattled off like 20 in a row. I just felt like they got kind of hot towards the end, and they kind of rode that through the playoffs, and I just don't see it happen. So,
well,
I would be concerned if I was a Royals fan.
I just look at that. I look at the potential pitching rotation, and you never know what's going to happen with a guy like Yordano Ventura when he has, you know, when the second year comes back. Either he's going to keep going, or is he going to regress a little bit? And then, you know, they just have a bunch of guys behind him that, like, just don't really do much for me. You know, Jason Vargas, I mean, these are guys that, like, you know, okay, he's my five starter, I'm fine with it, but I don't really feel real comfortable with Jason Vargas taking the bump in a key game for me. It's just, you know, as good as the bullpen.
Kidding me?
You're playing with fire if you're consistently asking for guys like that to deliver quality start after quality start just to get it to your bullpen.
Right. I agree. And I have a lot of friends who are Royals fans, and I've been telling them, I said, you guys might as well enjoy as much as you can being in the World Series last year, because I really don't think you guys are even going to make the playoffs this next season. So the Royals have, I think, offensively and pitching-wise, I think they've got a lot of question marks, and I really don't feel like they acquired the talent that they lost, if that makes any sense. I don't think that they brought in as much talent than they lost during the offseason. So, I don't know. But you know what, Feast, right now we're going to take a short break. We'd like to invite anyone listening right now to feel free to call in any time. Our guest call-in is 347-850-8177. We're going to bring in our special guest tonight. He is just getting now on the line, so we're going to go ahead and bring Michael in. So I'm going to bring him on right now. Yes, hello, Michael. You're on the Inside Baseball Podcast.
Hello, sir. How are you doing? This is Mike Valentine with SeatGeeks.com. I appreciate you allowing me on your broadcast this evening, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Michael is our guest tonight on the Inside Baseball Podcast. As he said, you guys can follow him at CleatGeeks on Twitter, also CleatGeeks.com, a great website that him and a buddy had started, and they talk about just about anything with any sport. Is that about right, Mike?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we're doing everything from golf to MMA to WWE, of course, baseball, football, even baseball, not just major leagues, but college and youth as well. So we're really trying to cover a wide spectrum.
Great. Mike, from what I am reading, you're a big Cincinnati Reds fan. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. That is my team.
So right now,
what was that laugh for? I don't understand.
Well, hey, I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan, and the only reason that's exactly why. I have a friend, a good buddy of mine, who's a huge Reds fan, and I feel bad for you guys this season. That's all. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. We felt bad for you guys for several seasons, so that's okay.
Oh yeah, I know. I have really no room to talk as a Cubs fan, but you know, tonight on the show we are talking a little bit about just some things going into spring training as spring training rolls around. Just some things that are some storylines, maybe with some of the different teams heading into spring. Some things to kind of watch out for. And I wanted to ask you, we actually started in the American League, but seeing as you're a Reds fan, I wanted to ask you, going into spring training, what are some of the question marks or things that you are maybe worried about, or just things that you think your team needs to address or anything like that heading into spring training this season?
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, for the Cincinnati Reds and all of our fans out there that are tuning in for us right at the moment, the Cincinnati Reds do have quite a few question marks, actually. And I think the biggest one is going to be the health of Joey Votto. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I can agree with that entirely. I mean, Votto is the kind of guy that needs to be, you know, a centerpiece in the lineup, and it's somebody that they've missed. They've missed the capabilities that he can bring to the table. You know, when you look at that lineup with him not in it, and you had Jay Bruce struggle to the level that he did last year, Not a lot of teeth in that dog when they stepped up to the plate to attack. I mean, Todd Frazier had a great year, but putting all that burden on him, maybe a little bit too much, I would think.
And I would have to agree with you. I mean, you know, and you mentioned Todd Frazier had a great year. I tell you, somebody else who had a great year, and I think it's really going to have another step up that ladder this year, is their catcher, Devin Mesoraco. I believe that if Frazier can duplicate his year, which is sometimes hard to do in baseball, and I understand that, but if he can duplicate his year, if Mesoraco can go another notch or two up, and Votto can be healthy, I think that's a pretty good middle of the lineup there for him.
When you look at
their
pitching staff,
absolutely.
I mean, do you feel like a guy like Homer Bailey is capable of putting a full year together? I mean, I know he was really poor at the beginning of last year, and everybody was talking about how it was a bad contract extension.
Yeah.
I mean, with Cueto, do you feel like Bailey is capable of giving them a pretty solid top of the rotation, or are you worried about his consistency?
I'm worried about his consistency, number one. Number two, the biggest thing that I'm worried about, though, more than that, is, I mean, they have locked themselves in to a huge contract, and if he does not deliver, they're never going to be able to trade him. Plus, now with, you know, the team being in the market size that it is, you've got so much of that money allocated to one guy who is no more than a good number three or a number two starter at most. I don't think he's a number one guy.
How do you feel about some of the moves that they've made with their rotation this year? I mean, trading away Matt Latos and then, you know, and bringing in some other guys and I mean, sticking with Mike Leake instead of the guys that they got rid of. How did you feel like the rest of that rotation shook out? You feel like they made the right moves, or were you a little discouraged by some of the guys they chose to get rid of?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm discouraged. I mean, I like the right-handed pitcher they got from Florida, the Scafani. Thanks for the correction. But I do like him as far as that, when they got him back in the Latos deal. I mean, you have to look at an overall perspective here, just speaking about the Latos deal in particular. This is his walk year. And to be honest with you, I've met Matt Latos once. He's a jerk. Just to be frank, the man's a jerk. I didn't personally like him, and I like the idea that you give a guy who's got 1 year left to a team like Florida, who, I mean, they might be one of the most improved teams in this league, and I really think they're getting overlooked as far as that because of the move that the Padres are making. But we got a young guy back that we've got control of. They did the same thing when they traded away Simon to Detroit. They got a young guy back that they've got control of. I'd be really upset if we traded somebody like that and then got somebody back who we don't have any control of. I still think the biggest thing for us as far as pitching goes is, are we going to sign Johnny Cueto, and how much is that going to cost?
Yeah. Yeah, but you had so many guys coming into this offseason that were in that walk year, so you had to make some decisions. And like you said, getting some guys back with some controllability obviously was a big part of what you were able to do.
That's right. I mean, you know, overall, I like the moves. There's a few things that they did that I didn't like. Chris Isaacs is one of my favorite players in the world, and they basically gave him up for nothing to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's going to help them. I could not stand that move. In fact, when I heard it, I was like throwing stuff at the television. You know, he's still out here for spring training with us. I mean, and this is the opposite of Matt Latos. I've met Matt Latos again. I don't want to meet him ever again. I've met Chris Isaacs on several occasions. The best person I've ever met in Major League Baseball, bar none. The man doesn't just sign autographs, but he takes time to hold conversations and things like that that most of them don't do. And I really hold that in high regard personally.
Hey, Phil, you know, now that we have a Reds fan with us, we had a discussion about Billy Hamilton the other day. Is there anything you wanted to address with him here now, talking about Billy Hamilton, some of the things we touched on the other night?
Well, I mean, besides the fact that he doesn't hit enough, besides the fact that he doesn't bunt enough, the man has great skill in center field, and the guy can flat out fly. He can run faster backwards than I can run fast forward. I mean, the man is incredible if you've never seen him in person. I'll give you just a small story here. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League 2 years ago, and he had on these bright pink shoes because his mother is actually a breast cancer survivor. And I was with a group of gentlemen, and he was in the on-deck circle. And I don't know if you've ever been to Arizona Fall League or not, but you can get right on top of these guys and talk to them and everything else, even while the game's going on. And one of the older gentlemen who I was with was, you know, I was asking him, gee, Merry Christmas, Bill, are you going to blind me with them bright pink shoes on? And the old guy next to me said, well, they were red, but you missed him. He sold three bases already.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, this kid can absolutely fly. And if he can ever figure out, hey, you know, bunt once a game, that's all I ask, just once a game. You know, lay the bunt down. Watch tape of Ichiro Suzuki, please, dear God, because if he can do that, and if he can do that, and if he can get on base in front of a much improved Joey Votto and Frazier and Mesoraco, and hopefully a guy in Jay Bruce, who I also want to see bunt every once in a while when they shift on him, then he can be driven in three or four times a game with no problem whatsoever, with a pop fly to center field.
Yeah, it's funny you said Ichiro, because on our podcast the other night, I said that exact thing. I said, you know, Billy Hamilton's got six home runs, and, you know, that's fine and everything, but his on-base percentage is less than 300. He needs to stop swinging for, you know, hitting the ball in the air. He should be hitting the ball on the ground, Ichiro-ing it, and getting on base. That's all he should be doing, or bunting. He should be doing that minimum one game, or one time a game, no question.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I certainly agree.
Yeah, well, and like you said, with all the power, you know, they got behind him, if he can get on base, oh, just even a touch more, I mean, do you think that, you know, he stole 56 bases last season and stole 155 in the minors. This was just a number that was thrown around by a guy in our fantasy league the other day. He said, I will bet that in the next 5 years, $20 that Billy Hamilton steals 100 bags in a season. Do you think that's possible?
In one season?
One season. He said, I'll bet $20 that he's going to do it. I'm going to take the under.
Cool. You know what? I'm a little bit of a gambling guy. Maybe this is my head or my heart talking to me instead of my head, but I would actually take the over on that just simply because he can steal a will. I've never seen a person who can consistently throw him out. I mean, he's Ricky Henderson-esque. When he gets on the base, he can hold a sign that says, I'm going to steal on the next pitch, and they still can't throw the man out. That's how fast he is.
Yeah.
Do you follow prospects
extensively?
I know you mentioned the Arizona Fall League. Is that something that you do on a regular basis, or are you a big follower of prospects around the league?
I'll tell you this. My wife is so sad right now, because she knows what time of year it is. She says she is a baseball widow. You know, and she, this past weekend we went out and did Valentine's Day stuff and all that, and she's like, you know, I've got to do this because I'm not going to have you for six more months. So I am a huge baseball fan, you know, through and through. And I tell you what, I looked this stat up because I saw this the other day, and I want to give you a startling stat. I want to compare, and I know you really shouldn't compare Billy Hamilton to Tony Gwynn, but listen to these numbers. Billy Hamilton had 32 strikeouts and 135 leadoff plate appearances in 2014. Now, the Padres' Tony Gwynn had 32 strikeouts in 1,075 plate appearances from 1995 to 1996.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reason I ask about the prospects is I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of guys from the Cincinnati Reds organization that I've been following for a while now.
Okay.
I should say a while, because one of them is only 21. So what are your thoughts on Jesse Winker?
I think, and to be brutally honest with you, I love a player like Jesse. He doesn't stand up there and do the big, huge hack where his bat just is slow through the zone and all these kinds of things. But you know if he connects, it's going to go over the fence. Jesse reminds me a lot of Sean Casey as far as his hitting style and things.
Okay.
A doubles guy, gap to gap. He's not going to hit more than 10 runs ever or 10 home runs ever in a season, but he's going to give you 30 to 40 doubles every year, and he's going to drive in 80 runs every year with no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, I really like what I've the limited activity that I've seen from him. I've really liked, I like his approach. I like what he does. So that's the one guy on the offensive side. The pitching guy that I'm interested to talk about a little bit is Robert Stevenson.
Robert Stevenson, boy. I've seen him once. Not extensively, but I've seen him once. And I tell you what impressed me the most about him was his mound presence. He was like arguing with the catcher back and forth. He'd shake the catcher off and, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. Because 9 times out of 10, even in the minor league system, the catcher is usually older and better than what the pitcher is. And the catcher puts down whatever sign and it's like, you will throw this. And he just kept shaking him off. Nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. He seemed to have really good control on the mound and gave me a sense. I mean, you know, not like a Randy Johnson sense or something like that, but as far as where he's at in his development, he seems to really know what he wants to do and knows the game of baseball well enough to where he's not just going to throw fastball after fastball in there. He can locate, and he's got a couple of really good secondary pitches as well.
Interesting. That's, I mean, he's a guy that I've been watching, you know, since the hype machine started a little last year, and I've kept an eye on him, and I'm wondering when the ETA might be, because I'm really interested to see when he's going to arrive, because I'd like to see a little bit more from him. So, because I'm looking forward to when he gets to Cincinnati to watch him go.
As am I.
Yeah, and he's been a prospect for a while. I mean, as far as I remember, in the last couple of our drafts, I know guys have scooped him up in our Texas squad draft, and I'm looking forward to seeing Stevenson. But what about, I saw this guy earlier today. I don't know hardly anything about this guy, and I know my Cubans pretty well. What's this Rusael Iglesias? What can you
the infielder, right?
It looks like he might be a... Well, it says he might be in the rotation this season. They signed him last year, 7 years, $27 million, and they say that he has a legitimate shot to be...
Oh, the Cuban guy that they signed a month or two ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got a couple things to talk about with this guy. I mean, number one, nobody was talking about this guy. I mean, you know, I'm here in Arizona, so everybody was talking about Tomas and everything like that, right? Everybody was talking about Abreu last year. And I know a lot of these Cuban guys are coming in, but nobody's really saying a whole lot about this kid. Myself, I'm actually going to be at the complex tomorrow here at Goodyear, Arizona, where the Reds and Indians play. And I'm going to go down there and try to get some pictures and things like that and try to talk to a few people and get a feel for what's going on this year. And he's one of these guys that I'm excited to see because I have never seen... just heard, and I want to see it with my own eyes.
Right. I was shocked.
There's nothing out there on that guy.
Well, right, yeah, I was shocked. They said out of nowhere, it just says he might actually be in the rotation. I'm like, wait a second. I've never even heard of this guy. You know, I've heard the name, but I have not read up on him hardly at all. He's kind of under the radar as far as Cubans go, I guess.
Well, and I guess that doesn't bode real well for the back end of the Reds rotation. And if you know, it's like, I've never heard of this guy, but yet he has a shot. So it's one of those good thing, bad thing kind of deals, I guess. You know, you don't know if that's good for the Reds or if it's bad for the Reds.
Right.
Yeah, certainly. He's an interesting guy, though. He's somebody to keep an eye on, I would think, because he's, you know, you know, he doesn't have much of a known pedigree at this point, so he could be just about anything on the scale of, on the spectrum. Basically, could be, you know, he could be tremendous or he could be Hideki Arabu. So, you know, I mean, you never know. So.
Oh, Hideki Arabu. Well,
nice kid.
There's several, actually. A little Benny Agbayani action. What about... What about, you said, you mentioned that, I mean, you're based out of Arizona, right? Is that where you?
That's where I live at, is in Arizona, yes. One of the main reasons I moved out here, honestly, was because there's baseball here, like, it might not be 24/7, but it's 22.5, 5.5.
Right. Man, I mean, I'm jealous. I'm sitting right now in Nashville, Tennessee, and there's ice and snow all around me, and I can't get out of my driveway, and I know there's baseball going on somewhere, and it kind of drives me nuts that I'm not somewhere warmer, maybe, or just anywhere else where I can – I'm actually kind of jealous. You say you're going to the complex tomorrow. How are you able to? I mean, do they let? Do you have any kind of affiliation with a major league team, or do they let you know, people come in early in spring training like that, or how does that work for you?
Well, for me per se, it took me a little bit of time to figure out where to go. That's actually, I'm going to start next week on CleatGeeks.com, where I'm the editor and head writer and co-founder of. I'm actually going to begin a series of articles on the different spring training locations here in Arizona, because there are like little spots, like the Reds have, you know, a huge complex back there. And it's like if you walk past the one wall and go around the restrooms and come to the back side back there, it's in between two of the fields, and there's a small little, you know, a small fence that comes up to about your belly button or so, and the players walk right past you. You just simply stand there. I mean, I'm not one of these obnoxious guys, and I can't stand those people who are, you know, they're like screaming and yelling and everything else. I'm just the guy who hangs out right there, and if they want to come over and do something, then by all means, I've got something ready for them. And you know, a lot of times they'll talk to you, especially if there's none of those obnoxious people around. But it's those obnoxious people who honestly ruin it for everybody, because, you know, if you're a major league person and put yourself in their shoes, you don't want to try to stand there and have a conversation with a moron. So you just keep right on walking, and it ruins it for everybody. But to actually answer your question, there are four or five different camps and things here, and they do a really, really good job as far as, you know, if you go to this place at this time, and that's kind of the things that I'm going to share in those articles here coming up this coming week on CleatGeeks.com, where we can actually go there and just kind of hang out for an hour or so, and that's the place where it's like, you know, they want to eat lunch, right? So when they dismiss them at 11 o'clock, you can stand there and they're going to walk right past you if you go to this spot, stand there at this time. So if you know the ins and outs,
which
I'm starting to learn, then you can really get in there.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm very jealous, I'd like to say that, but that sounds really, really cool. For our listeners out there who we've mentioned Mike's website, CleatGeeks.com, a lot of great content on there. You guys can find that at CleatGeeks.com. A lot of great baseball articles. I mean, you have youth stuff on there. A lot of great stuff. Football, fantasy football, college football. There's soccer. There's golf. There's basically any sport you can think of. As I've looked through it, I basically can't find a sport that I don't already know not on there. So one article that I did see that you had written not too long ago, and it really kind of centers around a guy right now who's under a lot of fire, as well he should be, and that's Alex Rodriguez. You wrote an article about him, and, I mean, what is your general thought about this whole apology thing and just A-Rod in a nutshell? What do you think about him? Should we all just dismiss him? Should we forgive him?
Well, let me make the same bold prediction live on your podcast as I have been doing with my friends and family around here in the Arizona area. Alex Rodriguez will never play in a regular season game ever again. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Alex Rodriguez will never play in another regular season game ever again for any team, not just the Yankees, for any team. And let me tell you why I think that. If I was Alex Rodriguez, and, you know, you have to remember, he's not played but 42 games 2 years ago, right? He didn't play at all last year. And people are questioning, right? You guys are there in New York, correct? You know, people are questioning, can he actually still hit a baseball? Can he still drive a baseball after two hip surgeries and all the other things that he's been through? In one of his interviews before, he said that he didn't think he could play the game correctly without the use of PEDs. So what makes you think that he can still hit? And if I was Alex Rodriguez, here's my biggest point to this. If I was Alex Rodriguez, and he has been saying that he's training with Barry Bonds, right? If I was Alex, I would have somebody with a video camera taping me swinging home runs over a fence next to Barry Bonds, or going up against Barry Bonds, or however you want to look at it. But he's not. I mean, really, think about it a second. Wouldn't you do that? If you could still hit a ball, wouldn't you prove it to everybody, especially with the ego that he has?
Right, yeah.
But he's not doing that. We've not seen a lick of footage whatsoever. Personally, I bet he gets there and can't do a darn thing.
I mean, that's a bold prediction. I mean, I can see it. I only asked because, obviously, you know, his big apology note, which I think is just complete BS. I think that he, as some reporters even said, he took the easy way out. I actually agree. He should have gone in front of the media, went under fire, answered questions, been a little bit more out there in the open. I think writing
which
a
time?
Note is... exactly.
I mean, you know...
It's laughable.
It's old.
It's true. Yeah, it's getting old, exactly. It's just getting old to me, and I'm kind of just... I started to read the apology, and I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of listening to this guy. I don't like him. I've never liked him. I think everything he says is complete BS, and I do think that it's possible that, I mean, they signed Chase Headley to take his position. He could very, mm-hmm. very, very well find himself on the bench this season, and that wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think.
Well, they didn't just, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but they didn't just sign Chase Headley. I mean, they signed him to a four-year, $52 million deal.
Right.
As you can read in the first line of my article on ClickGeeks.com. shameless plug. But, you know, and he didn't do much for them. That's part of what the article is about, too. It's not like Chase Headley was beating the cover off the ball last year. He's a mediocre third baseman. And they chose to sign a mediocre third baseman to a long-term contract for big money instead of allowing Alex Rodriguez to come in and possibly get that spot.
Exactly. Yeah, I think New York Brass is just as done with him as most of us are. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him not find the field, at least very much. I still feel like if he's healthy and whatever in spring, they're going to – I still think he finds a way on the field. But I could definitely see your prediction coming true, and I would love that because he thinks he's unstoppable and – you know, last year's suspension, I feel like, didn't really even probably do very much to how big his head is. And I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of hearing him. I'm sick of seeing him in the news. I just want him to be done. I'd be very agreeable with myself. Well, anyway, we don't have to talk about Alex Rodriguez anymore. I was looking through our ESPN fantasy baseball rankings the other day, and they have him stealing 11 bags this season and hitting 17 home runs. The guy who's got two hip surgeries is not going to steal 11 bags, I can tell you that right now. And it just made me sick to my stomach just looking at this guy's stats for this season.
I mean, I think it's a shame that he's passed Ken Griffey Jr. for the home, you know, for most home runs in a career.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, that's like the ultimate slap in the face, if you ask me, to not only to Ken Griffey, but to baseball in itself. A guy who we all know is clean gets passed by A-Rod.
Yeah. And are you a pretty big Griffey fan, being a Reds fan, too?
I am a pretty big Griffey fan. I mean, he when all that went down earlier in the you know, the Reds, the Reds' career, for lack of a better word, they overpaid for him. I mean, that was a big stunt by Jim Bowden to go out there. I'm not going to Florida to get Goofy. I'm going to get Griffey. I'll remember it forever. But he's one of those guys. And there are more guys like him in Major League Baseball who were great, who are above average, but you paid them great money to be above average. When he was with Seattle, he was awesome. When he got to the Reds, he was above average.
Well, Michael, we have just under 2 minutes here, and first of all, I wanted to say thank you for joining us tonight on the Inside Baseball podcast, and again, you guys can follow him at Cleat Geeks on Twitter, and Michael, is there anything you want to add here towards the end just about the Cleat Geeks website or what you kind of do just kind of to finish us off here?
Well, I first of all want to really thank you guys for allowing me to be on your podcast here. I mean, this is, as you know, it was kind of a, impromptu type of deal, and then it was no real big deal as far as that part goes. But but Inside Baseball Podcast, I mean, this has been a great experience for me, and I hope that more people tune into this podcast. It continues to grow, because not only do I think that, you know, I can have brought some things to the table tonight, but you guys have really brought some things to the table tonight too. You guys are great, knowledgeable baseball fans. I mean, we have basically not taken a deep breath since I got on here just a few moments ago. So hopefully the fans understand that and continue not only to go to cleatgeeks.com and read the articles and things that we publish on all kinds of different sports, not just baseball, but they also continue to come into Inside Baseball Podcast.